Today's text begins with Jesus speaking to a large crowd, warning them about the pride of the Pharisees and the danger of denying him and rejecting his salvation. Suddenly, someone from the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, we're almost embarrassed by this man and his petition. This is simply not an important enough question to ask. Lord, thank you for your great discussion on the eternal consequences and rewards of confessing you, but I need you now to go and tell my brother to divide the inheritance so that I can get my portion and do it now. But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Jesus gives the man a stern refusal. Our Lord's incarnation at Bethlehem, his baptism in the Jordan River and temptation in the wilderness, and the work among the people was to proclaim and bring about and fulfill the good news of eternal life. Gracious salvation, forgiveness of sins. He neither had nor sought the secular office of an arbitrator. His call was a mission to bring the good news of God's love for the world by giving his only begotten Son in the manger and on the cross. And so we might expect Jesus to dismiss the man whose mind was occupied with an inheritance of perishable treasures from this temporary world, or maybe just grab the man by the shoulders and shake some sense into him, or at the very least, simply to neglect the man's request altogether. So in view of the weighty eternal issues just addressed and the petty temporary claim on an earthly inheritance, we're somewhat surprised when Jesus speaks to those within his hearing and said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." You see, Jesus did not send the man away. In fact, he answered him. The man and his appeal, as well as the underlying sin of the man, were important enough for Jesus to answer, important enough for the Holy Spirit to include in the Word of God, important enough for this text to be included in the assigned readings for this day, important enough for you and for me to hear and consider its implications and applications. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." As you no doubt know, often the days of hardworking people do not end until the sun has set. That mystical time between sunset and night, that evening of life, a hard worker will get ready for bed and prepare for that little slice of death that we call sleep. Now, if you're like me, when you're in bed and all ready for the unconscious state of mind to commence, your mind is often, perhaps usually, occupied. You do some thinking about the activities of the day that's just coming to an end, and perhaps say then a few silent prayers. And at such times, thoughts and prayers tend to mingle together as sleep so slowly conquers. And at such times, as well as at all times, the Lord God listens in on our thoughts and he hears every prayer. Well, how could we rephrase it? I came across this retelling of this story this week, and I'd like to read it to you. It goes like this. Once upon a time, in the land of cockleburrs and Canadian thistle, a rich man had finished his work for the day and had just climbed into bed. Now, he was a rich man, but not because he had gained his wealth by unlawful or shameful means. He didn't get his fortune by selling drugs or defrauding or by gambling or by thievery. No, he was an honest, hard-working farmer who woke the rooster every morning, letting that critter know that it was dawn and time to get up and crow. The rich man had worked all day, and his hard labors showed. At the end of the day, when the sun had dipped below the horizon, he would say, "Well done." And it was time for his farm bore witness to his hard work. Well, it happened as it usually did at one bedtime during the autumn of life, during that mysterious time when all creation is preparing for the coming night. The man began to think as he pulled the covers up to his chin and closed his eyes. Ah, what a day. Here it is 9 p.m. already. Hard work has its reward, and I am truly being rewarded for my efforts. What a crop this year. I really don't think it has been any better. It just keeps coming and coming. The yield per acre is astounding. And why is that? Some would say, thanks be to God, but I know better. Hard work. Yes, hard work. My crops give the word harvest a brand new meaning. However, such success does not come without consequences. Now, I have a new problem. Success leads to excess, but I will solve my problem. I just need to do some thinking about it. Let's see, what shall I do since I have no room to store all my crops? And so the rich man, who had gained his wealth by honest work, was faced with a problem. He chuckled at his great problem, for he loved the troubles that this problem caused him. His abundant harvest was his great problem, and as he slumbered, he thought about its solution, counting his coins as others count sheep. Well, around 10 p.m., in the stillness of the night, something came to him, and it was the answer to his great dilemma. "I will do this," he thought. "I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. I've weighed my silver and my gold in my mind, and I found it way more than sufficient to do what I need to have done. I'm going to tear down what I have and build newer and bigger and greater barns. Oh, just imagine the amount of harvest my new barns will be able to hold. What an idea and what a solution to the only great problem I have in this life." At the 11th second of the 11th minute of the 11th hour, during the mystical time when one is neither asleep nor awake, the man mused about his abundant crops, his stacks of gold shekels, his new building prospect, and the great harvest that would be his. In that netherland between consciousness and unconsciousness, the man smiled and mumbled from his heart of hearts and said, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." 1 minute before midnight, the rich man was confronted by God. The Lord God Almighty invaded the mind, assaulted the being, and confronted the consciousness of the rich man who harvested bumper crops on the surface skin of this planet and built bigger barns in this world, all to feed his soul. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" Then the Lord God left him alone, left him completely and totally alone in the darkness of the world's night. The quietness of dread descended upon the barn builder's soul. The rich man was by himself and only had his own thoughts to occupy his mind. Fool! God called me a fool. A fool is an unbeliever, one who says there is no God. God called me an unbeliever. I don't want to be a fool. I'm not a fool. I refuse to be. My hands are shaking and my heart is pounding. I don't want God to ever call me a fool again. Tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to make some changes in my life. Only now do I really understand that God has given me so much. House and home, fields, cattle, crops, clothing and shoes, meat and drink. How wrong I was. God is my creator who has made provisions for my recreation. God has provided for my redemption, and I have neglected the Redeemer. When the light of a new day shines, then I will be a new man. I repent of my sins. He has provided both my body and soul. The clock began to strike midnight, and the rich man's mind raced in frantic disarray. All thoughts accusing and not a one excusing. As the clock of time sounded from the third to the eighth chimes, the rich man threw promise after promise to staunch the overwhelming flood pouring down upon him. "Oh God, I will rush to your house in the morning and fall down before you, seeking to hear your word and of forgiveness for all my sins. They are many, and I understand now how that there were many more than I ever imagined. I will worship you, for you are a God of law, and I respect that, reaping where you do not sow. At first light, I will love my neighbor and give to the poor. I will support your church. Oh, I am sorrowful for what I have done. Look, I will throw down 30 pieces of silver. Make it 1,000. In fact, take it all, not only a tithe, not only 10%, I will give all of it, 100% to you. I will help pay for mission work to the nations. It's a deal, God. Will you be merciful to me then? Here, let me sing it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Lord, did you hear me singing my promise? When I wake up from the nightmare, you are going to be amazed at what I am going to do for you. Oh God, will you take back what you said? In the name of Jesus, will you forgive me? God, are you there? Hey, are you listening? The rich man heard nothing but the timepiece pounding out the seconds before midnight. The sound turned from a clinging to a clanking of the death knell. 8, 9, 10. Nothing. I hear nothing from you, O God. But wait. What was it he said? Fool, this night your soul will be required of you? Ridiculous. God is love, and this is all a nightmare, isn't it? I will wake up any second now. Crow, you dumb rooster. Announce the dawning of a new day for me. Quick, for I have heard the sound of the 11th clank. It's 1 second before midnight, 1 second before the end. Crow, you lazy, slothful rooster, and wake me up from this horrible nightmare. I mean, I am asleep, aren't I? I mean, this is just a bad dream, isn't it? Wow. Just look at the time, dear friends. Do you realize that we're really running out of the allotted time for preaching? In fact, there are only a few minutes left. Let's see, what needs to be said yet? Well, it is morning and we are all here. It's really, really good to be here, isn't it? Almost makes you want to pray the morning prayer. If you know it, please pray it with me. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. When Jesus finished speaking this parable about the rich man, he proclaimed the point of the parable. He said, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." To be rich toward God is to be rich in the treasures that God gives, the ones that he provides for us through his word and his sacraments, which are and come from the incarnate Son of God. This wealth consists of the jewel of holy baptism, the abundant treasury of forgiveness for our sins, the complete peace that we have and can know with God, the stockpile of complete pardon, the multifaceted salvation that the Lord provides, and the rich feast of victory that we receive at the table of the Lord. The church is given the key to heaven and commanded to announce the absolution which grants such a heavenly treasure to all who repent and believe. Being rich toward God includes the goodness of God.